before David saw her take the bath.
Okay. It was a Sarah, Sarah, I get it. It was an Abram, Abraham thing. Oh, there we go.
Okay. Even theologians have never thought of that.
I'm so glad that was your story. I thought it was going to be something much worse. I am. Thank you. So I'm very grateful to be here. And some of you I know and have known for a long time. I grew up here in Birmingham, and I'm thrilled that my darling mother is here. Thank you for coming. And my sister's here. Sissy, wave your little hand. And there's my sister. And so God has been so faithful. Our grandmother's favorite verse was this: "My lines have fallen in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage," which is something Debbie has in her heart. And I thought that's been very interesting. But that has been the word that God has been prayed over our family, and we see the fruit in the lives of our family, my mother's and her sisters and children and grandchildren, and the blessings of God that extend to the, how many generations? 10 generations. Let's see, the curses are 4 and 5 and the blessings are 8. And I can't keep
Seven's a good number.
7 is a good number. That is a good number. So I thought that I would start and tell you that this journey of praise and worship in my life began a long time ago when I was in college, and I grew up in a, thanks be to God, in a Christian home and went to youth group and Bible study. But when I got to Auburn, I met some women who discipled me, and I'd never heard of that word discipleship before. First they said, "Do you know what this four spiritual laws thing is?" You know, and I was pretty sure I figured that part out, but I didn't know how to walk with God at all. And they began to encourage me and on a path of understanding who God was, and that he really liked me, because I was pretty sure God was mad at me all the time, because I was bad, and I was in trouble with my dad a lot, and he was pretty mad at me, and I just kind of, made its way over into my relationship with God. So usually when I went to prayer, I was kind of like this: "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm stupid," you know, just something was, "I'm selfish, I know God," and I just kind of always felt that I was kind of crawling on my knees and to try to come into the presence of God. And that actually, that's entered Debbie Woods into my life, and I finally started realizing that God might really actually like me. Matter of fact, I think he kind of loved me, and people told me that all my life, "God loves you," and I go, No, he doesn't, because you don't know me. If he really knew me, he would go, "Wow." So deep inside of me, that's the way I felt. It's not the way I acted on the outside, because I was a singer and an actress, and I did all that fun kind of stuff. But when I was in those early years of understanding who God was in my life, I began to be encouraged to look into the Word of God and ask God to tell me things from the Word, which I'd never heard of in my life until those days in the early 80s. And I began, as I was singing, and I was doing musical theater, and I sang opera, and I loved it, and I was going to go to New York or a cruise ship or something, please, oh God. And the Lord began to speak to me through others and people that just randomly came up to me and said, "Sister Jean, I just feel like the Lord told me to tell you this." And I heard the same verse from about 10 people in the space of about 2 weeks, which I finally said, "I get it, I get it." And this is what the Word says, Psalm 40, verse 3. And it says this: "He, God, has put a new song in my mouth, and it is a song of praise." And I went, "Cool! I got a new song. Oh dear, it's a song of praise." And I wasn't sure what that meant. I started thinking, think, praise, praise, praise. Okay, I know what praise is, and I knew the doxology, and that's it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, O creation. Okay, I had sung that every Sunday of my life, but I had never pondered the words of the doxology. And so I started to kind of begin to pick it apart. Then I knew, and because in church we had sung so many songs, and I'm so, so grateful to God that I grew up in a church that taught me the Word of God. If I know nothing, I can do Bible drills, and I can find 2 Kings or Malachi. And I know where that stuff is, and I'm grateful to God for that. And I learned the Word, and I went to Vacation Bible School, and my mother read us stories. So I knew a lot about God, and I knew a lot about what the Word had to say. But I did not understand what it meant to sing a song of praise, because we stood up and we sang 3 verses of a hymn, and we put the book down. And I'm not being critical. That was just, it did not communicate something that had to do much with relationship. But it was a great deposit into my soul. And the Spirit of God uses those songs just like what we just sang over and over and over in my life. So Psalm 40 verse 3 set me on the path to begin to find out what it was. And I would go, so he has put a new song of praise. Well, I wonder what that means. What is this thing called praise? Well, that was 30 years ago. I am not this old, Debbie.
We are.
Oh, have mercy. Okay.
Send your
citizen 50 cent coffee at McDonald's. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Okay. So, what one of the things that I was encouraged to do, and Debbie encouraged me to do this, when I graduated from Auburn, I went on staff at a church, and I was singing songs and doing praise songs, and I had tons of energy because God had filled up my heart with his love. And I was beginning to understand what happened, that when we gave to God, what we're going to talk about in a minute, what is a sacrifice of praise, which often means we don't feel like it, we don't want to do it, we're not in the mood, we sacrifice our feelings, we sacrifice our understanding of a situation, we sacrifice our comfort, and any other things, but we say to God, regardless of my circumstances, and yet, I will sing praise to you. And oh, my soul, I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul. You know, David talked to himself a lot. He would go like this, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is in me. I'm telling you, wake up, get up. We're going to bless his holy name. He was talking to himself, and that's the flesh and the spirit and that stuff. Well, I just thought I would start with a fun story because God is funny, and I learned how funny God was sitting at the feet of my friend Debbie. One of the things that I learned how to do in my early walk with the Lord in praising God was that I started my time with God in praise. And the reason for that is you know so much of this, but it's just a refresher, is if you want to get into the presence of God, we have the address of where God lives. And it's Psalm 100, verse 4. And I love that because I love the verse says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, verse 1, which is not translated really well. Really, it's like this. Shout joyfully to God on the earth. That's a shabak. That's what that is. So we shout joyfully to God. We serve the Lord with gladness. We come before him with joyful singing. We enter, and then we enter his gates with, okay, that's the gates. You know, that's the gates. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm just going to do dumb things like this. If you look at a diagram of the temple, how many of you have ever done a study on the temple mount, like Beth Moore study or something like that? It's awesome because it's such a great picture of who Jesus is, for what Jesus has done for us, what he's accomplished. But anyway, let's say this. You always had to go up to Jerusalem. And by the way, I'm a dreadful artist. My sister can attest to that. So you have to go up to Jerusalem, and then they have gates at the top of the temple mount. And then up here sits the place where the inner court is. Hang on, those are steps. And then that's the place. And then that, of course, you know, is the veil of the temple. Then you got the bread and the incense. That's incense. Do you like that? I'm horrible. I know. The showbread and the incense and the lampstands, right? Okay. That's the light of the light. I'm horrible. Okay. So out here you have two things. You have the brazen laver and the altar of sacrifice. So it began to make sense to me because of my experience with the Lord early in my life that I had come to understand salvation through the simple plan of Jesus died for you once for all. The sacrifice has been paid for you. And now we get to go through the waters of baptism, which represent death to new life, or the washing of the water of the word. And in the same way, that's what this represented. The altar sacrifice became the cross, right? And this is the water. So many of us have come to the Lord. I hope in your walk with the Lord, you understand that you came into the gates like this, and you saw and you recognized Jesus. You know, I love this verse because I work with children now. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, Paul's talking to Timothy and he says this, don't forget, Timothy, from infancy you have known the holy scriptures. From when? Okay, do like that. Babies, infancy. From infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which were able to make you, Timothy, wise unto salvation through Jesus. So how interesting is that, that the Word of God prepared his heart to be able to walk in the door and recognize, oh, Jesus died once for all. He did this. And then you go through the waters of baptism, the washing of the waters. And then guess what happens? We're clean. We're saved. Would you say amen? We're saved. Amen. That is great. And so most of my life, what happened to me is I was going, yahoo, I'm saved. I'm saved. Yippee, yippee. Oh-hoo-hoo. And then the encouragement was run out and tell somebody else. And so I went, all right, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I go to Beach Project. You need Jesus. And we're running out. And but what did I miss? I miss the courts. I miss the courts where the presence of God is. There's the Ark of the Covenant, right? I put a star for the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the very manifest presence, the very real presence actually lived. That's the place where they had to put a rope around the foot of the priest in case he died so they could drag the poor guy out because he wasn't holy enough. He didn't do it all right. So if the Word of God then says in Psalm 100 verse 4, I'm so ahead of myself. I wonder where God's going with this. Okay, that we enter his gates with thanksgiving because we're giving thanks for the sacrifice and for the washing of the water of the Word and the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Would you say hallelujah right there? Then but don't stop. Keep on going because then we go, oh, wait, what are those stairs? Where do those stairs go? What is that for? This is his courts, and how do we get there? Oh, see, it is just not rocket science. Okay. So here's what happened to me as I was encouraged by my sister and friend. I would, before I came to the Lord in time, I decided that the best thing for me to do, because I'm singing a new song, he has put a new song in my mouth, and music is magic. That's God, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but there's something very cool about what God does in music. So I would pick up my Bible and flip it open to the book of Psalms. Now, you should know where I'm going because I just want to tell, I don't know if think I've ever told Debbie the story because I should have though because you encouraged me. I met a man and I was 28 and singing and on staff at a church and doing race runners and getting to talk to people about praising God. And this was long before we had the whole praise and worship movement really in such a big way like it is today. Thanks be to God. And I have lived in that world for many years. So I asked the Lord because I love men. If you know me, you would know. I like boys. I like them. And I was crazy about a lot of boys in my life. And I kept thinking, well, I could love that guy or that guy. I could marry that guy or I could marry that. I could probably marry. And I finally went to the Lord and go, I said, God, help. Because this is a really hard decision. And I don't know how to do it. And I don't want to mess it up. I got this one chance. I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to quit. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to say, Lord, when you bring me the man, when I meet the man that I'm supposed to marry, you just say, this is it, kid. You know, this is that's the one. That's your husband. I said, so, and thanks be to God. I was in a good place where I really had that sense of hearing his voice, right? My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and they know me. That is a wonderful thing. So I had met this guy on Easter Sunday, and he had graduated from Auburn much later than I because he's younger, and I didn't know him. But he knew who I was because he had to go. Good for me. That's right. Props to me. So I was singing at a church in Florence, Alabama, and he heard about it from the, it doesn't matter, and he came to hear me sing, and afterwards he walked up to me and he said, Gene, you don't know me, but I remember you from Auburn, and I said, this is so cool that you're doing Christian music. I love that. I live in Nashville because after Auburn, anyway, I work at a recording studio over there. I'm doing music and I know some friends of yours. And I was like, oh, how fun. Let's go out afterwards. And we had yogurt and we visited and blah, blah, blah. So he called me the next week and said, hey, I'm doing a recording up here in Nashville for this Christian group. Do you want to come up and see it? And I said, my best friends live in Nashville. I'm coming up there. So we began to just have conversations. And I thought he was real nice and real young, but I never would have gone out with him because he had skinny legs. And did you do that thing like years ago when we were encouraged, you know, if you pray and ask God for what you want a husband, write down your list of requirements. He needs to be a believer in Jesus. He needs to this. He brown hair, blah, whatever. You may as well tell God because he already knows. So I come from a family of athletes, and it was a big deal to me. I thought, what I'll do is just, you know, God, I just want him to have hunky legs. And I'm sorry, but you know, that's my thing. I'm just, ooh, you know, that is so cute. So So I had written that on my list. And so anyways, fast forward to we had been knowing each other casually. And in June, the very first of June, he called me and said, when's the next time you're in Nashville? And I said, 3 weeks. He said, Kent, would you go to dinner with me? There's something I want to talk to you about. I said, sure, brother. And y'all know where this is going. Okay, so we went out to dinner, and I said, what's happening? What's going on? And he said, well, I just want to ask you to pray about something. And I said, I'd love to pray about something with you. And he said, well, I hope you won't think I'm crazy, but God told me you're my wife. And I went, oh, no. Tell him it's true. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. I said, oh, gosh. He goes, hey, I don't want to freak you out. And I thought to myself, I've heard this before. I've been doing singles ministry. Know what I mean? I've been doing singles ministry. And what happens is sometimes you stand up in front of people, and they get this false sense of intimacy. And they think, I know her. I love her. Yeah, it's okay. She's far worse than I. How many proposals have you turned?
I don't want to even say.
Yes, you do.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Okay.
Jesus told me you're the one. I would be 1/50th of a person. Let's just put it in there.
Did you hear that? 50 men proposed. Yeah, okay.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. So anyway, when this guy said this, I thought to myself, I know him and he's not crazy. I mean, this guy's solid. He's solid. He's sweet. He's gentle. He's kind. He's not like the most charismatic person in the world. He's just steady. He's slow. And I was thinking to him, nah, not my type. And so he just kept talking. He said, would you mind praying about it? And I said, yeah. You know, part of me just thought to myself, get in line, dude, you know. That's horrible. I did not say that. Okay.
Let's edit that out.
So anyway, and this all has to do with praise, I assure you. Okay.
I know. Here we go. Right?
And so I'm moving right along. And so here was what was so sweet. I left him and went back to my room, and I was like shaking my head, going, "Oh God, are you kidding him?" And the Lord said, "That's your husband." And I went, "You know, oh my goodness." It was very serious that I really knew that I heard the Lord. Well, about a week later, I was in another city doing singing or something, and I had my list, you know, the list with the legs on it, in addition to, will he dance? I like that, and all, you know, all these other things. And so I was going through the list going, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah, no, and that kind of thing, you know. But the legs, for some reason, was the biggest one. So here's the praise thing. So I decided to do what Debbie had encouraged me to do and others too, and that was this, that I would take my Bible, and when I went to praise, because God inhabits, lives in the praises of his people. If you want to get into the presence of God, remember, we enter his thanksgiving, then we go to praise, to be in his presence. And so I began to just flip my Bible open, I began to read, and this is what I began to read, as I walked, because I don't know why, but Joshua, something about the footsteps. I don't know. It was all had made sense. Praise the Lord. Psalm 147 sings that I just flipped my Bible up, right? It is good to sing praises to our God. Yes, God, it's good to sing praises to you. It is pleasant and praise is beautiful. But did you know praise looks good on you? Praise is becoming. It's lovely to the upright, the people. It's becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He counts the numbers of stars and gives names to them all. Don't you love that? God named stars. Great is the Lord, abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. He supports the afflicted. Thank you, God. He pulls the wicked down to the ground. Sing praises to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to the heavens and the clouds. He provides rain. He makes grass to grow, and to the young ravens which cry. The Lord does not delight in the strength of the horse, nor does the Lord take pleasure in the legs of a man. Beautiful picture of the Father sitting there, you know, and there's Jesus by his right hand, and the Lord was going like this, watch this, watch this. And I read it, and I went, and they both went, So you can see, because this is my wonderful Bible, I wrote in the thing where it says, he doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man, I wrote, neither do I. And I married those skinny legs. And we've been married for 25 years. And we have two children, and one of our kids is a singer-songwriter, and we've been doing praise and worship music together. And that was a sweet thing. Marriage is not easy for anybody, but you know what has been cool? I asked the Lord for someone who would be, that I could be yoked together with and plowing in the same field, working in the same world, so that we could be at least together in our intention. And that is who Chris Thomason is. And I'm very proud of him. He is a man in whom there is no guile. That's what the Lord told me. He is like Nathaniel. And God has blessed us and done great things in through him. We sang Darlene Check. God used my husband to put Darlene Check in the place where she recorded her very first songs. And when she wrote Shout to the Lord, my husband said, the men are not singing this, she's singing it. And he raised up a woman, and that had nothing to do with me. It didn't. It was awesome. That was an awesome thing. So anyway, I say that to say, God does so many things in our lives through praising him. He will do unexpected things. He will do funny things. And he will tell you things that is only, there are jokes only between the two of you. So this is where I want to start with us as just praise. And I'm praying that something that comes out of this mouth is something you didn't know and will surprise you tonight. Here's Proverbs 19:2. It says this: it is not good to have zeal without knowledge. I think that's important because sometimes we can be zealous for the wrong things, and we can be we can feel that we're right about stuff. And we all know that there are people in the world who we see that have zeal for things that end up being destructive. But God wants us to have zeal and have knowledge to support our zeal. So I hope tonight that if you are zealous for the life of God that is in you, I want you to know that you have a foundation laid by the Word of God upon which you can stand and you can trust it. It is like, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So here's how I want to begin, and that was it. And this is this way. The disciples one day asked Jesus, well, it wasn't even the disciples, it was the Pharisees. They're always trying to trap him, you know. They said, okay, Jesus, you're so great and you're so smart, because he was. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus was great. He said, oh, that's easy. He said, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 tells us the great commandment. And you know it, what it says. First it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's the one and only. Therefore, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Well, you know what is interesting? The Jews said strength. Jesus said mind, which I think is really incredible that Jesus said your brain, because you can love the God with your mind, because God wants to give us knowledge where we have zeal. He wants to give us knowledge. And so that's a good place to begin. That's how we begin. That's the greatest commandment. How do we love the Lord? Then I love this. What do we know the Westminster Shorter Catechism said is the chief end of man? What is that? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. I did not grow up enjoying God. I was scared of him, and I knew he was mad at me, and I didn't enjoy him. As a result of what God has done through praising him and leading me into worship, my life has really completely changed, because I understand who he is and that I can, like the bride, sing unto the bridegroom. So the
12 minutes before we go to praise.
Okay. And then, so, glorify God. So the whole way to know that is, how do we get to know God? You know, Philippians 3, Paul said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that know is the same word you probably know as sexual intercourse. It's that very serious intimacy that Paul had with God. God wants us to know him. How do we know him? We know him because we move into his courts. Worship, I love the word. Some people say worship and praise and just think they smash together. They're very different, actually, because praise is a type of worship. Worship is the whole of life. It's not that we fit worship into our lives, but we fit lives into worship. Worship is the process of getting nearer to God, and worship is communion with God, in which believers, by grace, we center our mind's attention on him. So worship is, I love this, Jack Hayford said, worship is God's enjoyment of us, our enjoyment of him. It's being aglow in the life the Holy Spirit imparts, offering spiritual sacrifices. And the word in Greek that is translated worship most often is the word proskuneo, which means, this is so sweet, to worship God means to come near, to kiss, or to prostrate oneself before. Sometimes worship is translated fear, and sometimes it's serve. That's very different from praise, because that's where I want us to go. And that is this. Praise is, I'm not going to write it, I'm just going to say it. Praise is this, I love this, from Psalm 100, verse 4. The inner courts are the lampstand, the showbread, the incense, the Ark of the Covenant. That was the presence of Jehovah God. And that's how we encounter his presence. So here's what I love. Praise is, my favorite thing to say, celebrative worship. Celebrative worship. I'm going to write that down because it means something that we do. Celebrative worship. And it is always, always, always a verb. Praise is always a verb. It's something that we do. And it's something that we choose to do. It's our choice to rejoice. I love hearing people say that. It's our choice to rejoice. Praise is celebrative worship in which believers magnify and exalt the Lord through expressive acts. Say that after me. Expressive acts. And they are enthusiastically proclaiming the unrivaled excellence of God's name, God's character, and his actions in a spirit of, here's what I love, uninhibited rejoicing. I hope you did some of that a few minutes ago when we sang God is here. Uninhibited rejoicing. The praise of man toward God is the means by which we express our joy for what God has done for us. You can't really praise God out of a heart full of joy unless you understand what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, what redemption really means, that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he has transformed you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Once we get hold of that truth and understand, oh my goodness, I was dead, now I'm alive, well then we should have something to get excited about. You know, that is a pretty exciting thing to say. Praise was at the world's creations. In Job 38, it says, the morning stars sang together. The sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy. And let's see, what's the next thing? Our praise should match the importance of the person or the achievements. I was thinking how interesting it is to say, wait, where's that thing I was going to say? The praise of man toward God, we express our joy praising God for who he is at is adoration. What he does is thanksgiving, but we can do it in song, in prayer, individually, collectively, spontaneous, prearranged, from our emotions or from the will. That's what Debbie said. Even if we don't feel like it, we can choose. It's our choice to rejoice. The word of God says in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord. That word is hallelujah. We're going to talk about that because it is our high priestly calling. This is what's happened to us as we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9 says this. We are, as you know, a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation of people belonging to God for this reason, that we may declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we're in a place, and this is what I think is a really important verse, Hebrews 13, 15, and it tells us what our job is, because Jesus has told us that we are priests, and that means we've taken on the Levitical role. No longer is the veil there. We have access to the Father. Hebrews tells us that. And because of that, we can boldly come before the throne of grace with unveiled faces. We can behold him. That's why we were singing about that earlier. And when we do that, what we're doing is offering to God a sacrifice. Do we need blood anymore? No, thanks be to God, we don't. That was a messy job. And we don't need that anymore because Jesus did it once for all. So now the sacrifices are this. Hebrews 13, 15 says, through him, therefore, we continue to offer up the sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of our lips as we confess that Jesus is Lord. We're made for praise. We're created for praise. Ephesians tells us that. Isaiah 43 tells us that the people I form for myself, the Lord says, will declare my praises. We're commanded to praise all through the scripture. Every time you see the word hallelujah, I'll just point to that over there. There is an exclamation point. Who's an English teacher in here and can tell me what that exclamation point means? No one?
I'm not an English teacher, but I think it means get really excited. I mean it.
I mean it is exactly right. It's an imperative. It means a command. It means something you must do. And I love talking to people who haven't encountered this thing, but sometimes repentance just means turning back to a truth that you didn't know. You know, repentance just means stop and turn around and go the other way, which is what happened to me in my life. It was like I was going along singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," and it wasn't meaning anything to me. So the Lord arrested me with this truth, and it was like, ah, I'm supposed to praise God, hallelujah. And I repented unto truth. And you know what's so sweet about that? In Acts it says, repent you therefore.
Acts 3:19
says, repent ye therefore and return that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. Who wants to be refreshed? Okay, because I was going a little bit longer than I messed up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the words that are so important to praise. And if you're taking notes, these would be good ones to do. We have all these words in Hebrew, in the Hebrew text of the Bible, that are translated into about three words in our language. The first most often used word is praise. Then we have extol, and we have magnify and exalt, and things that are kind of nebulous, I think. Don't you think? Sometimes you go, what does praise mean? Well, you know, it means glorify. That means make God bigger. Okay, well, how do you do that? Will you honor him? Will you exalt him? Those things seem to be
hard to connect.
There you go. They are not concrete. Well, guess what? The word praise is almost always a verb. It's something that we do. So the first, number one, most often used word for praise in the Hebrew is H-A-L-A-L, halal, halal. And if you put halal together with the first part of the name of God, who is Yahweh, what do you get? Oh, okay, that's easy. Hallelujah. Here's what I love about hallelujah. It's my favorite word in the world. It means to be clear, to shine, to boast, to rave, to laud, to celebrate, dance, leap, to be clamorously foolish with reckless abandon. It's interesting to note that the only places we pretty much feel comfortable being that way, in my experience growing up in the South in America, is at a football game. Why is that? Because we can be crazy idiots and nobody and it doesn't bother anybody. We can go nuts. Now, I went to Auburn and said, we are nuts when we get excited and we're just jumping up and down and screaming and hollering. And strangers beat you on the back end, kiss you on the mouth. I know. And when you make a touchdown, that never happened to you. I'm sorry. There are all sorts of scriptures to see for halal, and I can put them on the website for you, but I love to do that. But Psalm 100 is just probably the best. Excuse me, Psalm 150 is the best. Praise the Lord. That's halal. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet and harp and timbrel and dance and lyre and string instruments and cymbals and loud cymbals and clashing cymbals. Hello, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Does it make sense to you that God is saying, just make a noise? Do something. We do not have time for me to explain to you what happens in the atmosphere. Remember how Daniel prayed for 21 days, and finally when Gabriel showed up, he said, thanks for keeping praying, but I was fighting the Prince of Prussia trying to get here. We got all this stuff happening in the atmosphere. Guess what breaks the atmosphere every time? Praising God, it's God's magic. Ezekiel 22 tells us who Lucifer was. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He reflected the very glory of God. The Bible says he had tabrets and pipes built into his body on the day he was created. So most theologians agree that as Lucifer, the gorgeous angel, the most beautiful creature, as he moved and walked, he made music. It is no wonder, friends of mine, because I've lived in this world, it is no wonder why when Jesus said, I saw Lucifer, Satan, fall like lightning to the earth, and a third of the angelic host with him, who do you think they were? There was Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. We had messengers, we have wars, and we have worshipers. It's no wonder music is so fallen in our world today. Oh, gosh, especially in the church, too. Oh, heartbreaking. Oh, that men would halal, praise the Lord. Oh, that men would hallelujah. Oh, that men would get it. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to keep on going because there's so much good stuff. The second most often used word for praise is Y-A-D-A-H. Yada. Guess what this means? It means lift your hands to God. I'm sorry to tell you, but it's in the Bible. Who brought the hand raisers? I don't know. I didn't, and when it was new to me, but it means this, literally means this, to worship with extended hands, to throw out the hands giving thanks to God, lifting hands in surrender, commending a blessing with the hands. As you see that when you hold your hands up like this, you become vulnerable in your most easily wounded parts of you when you do that. Also, when you're doing this, you look like your mothers when you have children. Do they do this? Mommy, pick me up. Of course not. They go, mommy, hold you. That was my son. He said, hold you. And the other thing is this. When we throw out the arm, we say this. Look, this is such a great picture. I see you, God, for who you are, and I place myself beneath you. I get it that you were there, and I want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. And here's the thing that's cool in the Middle Eastern tradition. It is the opposite of wringing your hands. It's not that, no, woe is me. Oh, no. Oh, dear. No, you go, God is God. I'm here. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is large and in charge. God is large and in charge. The Bible says this, the lifting of the hands was the evening sacrifice. Seven times a day will I, yada, praise you. It just means stop, pause, and go, wait. That's right. I remember who I am and who you are. That's the picture. God loves to use pictures, doesn't he? Story. God's all about story. Jehoshaphat, who Debbie mentioned, when God told him, get the praisers, then get the singers, then get the priests, then get the army. The praisers were the yadars. Can you imagine that? Okay, Jehoshaphat said, all right, you lift your hand, you hand lifters, get out there in the front, you're the first. They were going, oh God. But it's the second most often used word translated into our word praise. It's a big deal to God that we lift our hands.
And then when that happens, you create the greatest fall and your enemies fight each other and no longer.
Isn't that so cool? Okay, the third most often used word for praise is Barak. B-A-R-A-K, Barak, not Obama. I'm so, hallelujah, okay. And it means this. This is how sweet God is. He gives us a diet. It means to kneel, to bless, to salute, or to bow. Do you find yourself ever doing that, praying for some reason? I find myself, I rock back and forth, and I go, I don't know why I'm doing this. It just feels like I'm supposed to. Holy Spirit, whatever you're doing, go ahead. And I just find myself rocking, and there's something about this bowing and presenting your head to God that is holy unto the Lord. So don't be surprised if that happens to you in your devotions, in your time, if you feel like, yes, I'm bowing. This scripture that you would be familiar with is Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is in me, bless his holy name. This is the pensive David. Bless the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. What is it God has done for us? He's pardoned my sins. He's healed my disease. Redeemed my life from the pit. That's Barak praise. That's the diet of that. Then the next one is my favorite. Okay. It is Tehillah. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Tehillah. Guess what that means? It means to sing your heart out to God. Hallelujah. You know what's fun about music? It goes to a different part of your brain completely than your speaking voice. This is why some of you know I do a children's ministry called Miss Patty Cake. It's all about using music to communicate spiritual principles to children. Because why? Here's why. I am stuck on. Because you know exactly right. Why do you know that? Because you sang it. Because you didn't say it, because you sang it. You deserve a break today. So, that was an old one, isn't it? Gene knows that. So get up and get away too. Hey, McDonald's. Okay, that's not a good example. But anyway, singing, Tehillah means this, to sing with, by, or in the spirit, or the singing of hallelujah, hava halals, hallelujah. This is the praise that God inhabits. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, God inhabits the Tehillah of his people. You want to get into God's presence? You sing. You sing your hearts out to God. Colossians 3:16 says, any excuse for a song to God in the name of the Master Jesus. That's from the Message Bible. Exhort one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also says that in Colossians. In Ephesians, it says, don't drink too much wine. That just cheapens your life from the Message. Instead, drink the Holy Spirit, huge draughts of him, and burst out in joyful singing. It's a big deal to God that we sing. Sing a new song to God. Make it up. I tell mothers all the time, I'm always talking to mothers, sing it your way through your day. It will change your life. I love you, Lord. And I can't stand that you're only giving me two more minutes.
I know it.
Okay, so I'm going to bust through Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R means to play instruments. There's something very spiritual about instrument playing to God. Shabak! There's a great one. That is shouting. Have you acquainted yourself with shouting to God? It's not very easy to do in church these days, I've noticed. But it's a good thing. To make a joyful noise means to shout to God and to say, Lord Jesus! I can't do it in the microphone. You know, like did you ever do that to your children? Like, come in the house. Please come in the house. Come in the house. You know, sometimes, especially if we're doing warfare in the spirit, the enemy wants to see if we really mean what we say. Yeah, she's sort of praising God. But if we go, you know, I am serious. You are under my feet. Whatever it is that God has called you to say, say it with a loud voice, to proclaim in a loud voice, shout, come in, or even bless. And here is probably one that I think is so important for us to know, and it is T-O-D-A-H, Todah. Todah means this, to extend the hands in a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. It is a thank offering. It is thanking in advance for things not yet visible. It's a faith praise. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things in my life I've had to have a faith praise for. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. But God, you are God, because He is the lifter of our heads. He is the one that lifts our heads. Psalm 50, verse 23 is this verse that says this. Whoever offers to me a sacrifice of praise, Todah, honors me, and to him I will show forth my salvation. So if we offer to God a sacrifice of praise that is Todah praise, it's His salvation. So this diet of praise God gives us is this, verbs, it's action. We choose to give back to Him in response for what He has done for us. We sing, we clap, we shout, we rejoice out loud, we kneel, we bow our heads. The Lord raises our heads, He lifts our heads, we lift our hands, we wave. I don't get it, but that's something about the wave offering. It's a wave praise. We twirl, we dance with joy, we play instruments, we bang stuff. Just not hard to see that God wants us to make a noise. Praise, in order to be praise, has to be expressed. And so let me leave you with this. Psalm 68:3 says this, let the righteous be joyful. Let them be enthusiastic before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Psalm 68:3 says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So we're going to start our praise time right now with, are you going to pull that back over? With a song that's not on the over. With a song that's not on the overhead. That's great. Let the righteous be. Matter of fact, the Lord says He gives songs in the night. Has God ever waked you in the night and you're thinking about a song, or you come up with something? Patsy Claremont told me the other day that she woke up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden all these words started coming. She started writing them down. She said, hey, I think this is a song. And it's going to be a song for her. And God wants to do that for us, and God wants to encourage us. And here's what I love. This is the reason why I have, that the Lord has allowed me to graduate to singing for children, which I've done now for 18 years, in addition to still doing worship. And that is this, because Psalm 8, verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes and infants, God makes perfect praise. Listen to what the message says. Lord, nursing infants are gurgling choruses about you. And toddlers will shout the songs that can drown out enemy talk and silence atheistic babble. So I use, and Jesus, by the way, did say, unless we become like a little child, we will not be able to enter the kingdom. So we're going to do that right now. Stand up on your feet, because we're going to sing a song, and I'll sing the first line, and then you sing the second line after me, and we're going to give God thanks and praise, and we're going to clap and sing and dance, and that's what we're going to do, and there we go, and here we go.